What's going on? It's Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Knox over Zoom video. Knox was born and raised just outside of Dayton, Ohio, and he talks about how he got into music. He was told from a very early age that he could sing really well, but he never pursued music really until he was in college. Through high school, he was a basketball player. He got a guitar at 10 years old, but didn't even really pick it up until he graduated from high school. But from that point on, he just became obsessed. He talked about the first open mic night he played, moving to Nashville, scoring a publishing deal, the massive success of his song Sneakers, and all about his debut EP, which is called How to Lose a Girl in 7 Songs. You can watch the interview with Knox on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Knox. Right on, man. I'm Adam, and this is about you and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the EP you have coming out as well.
I love it. Let's do it, man.
Sweet. You are from Dayton. Is that what I read?
Yes, sir. Dayton. Well, actually, it's like 20 minutes north of Dayton. It's called New Carlisle, Ohio.
Okay.
Middle of nowhere.
Well, it's funny. I was almost born in Dayton, Ohio. My parents lived there. My dad got, when he graduated college, he got a job in Dayton for NCR. I didn't even know if that company's still there. And then they transferred him to San Diego. My mom was 9 months pregnant with me.
Oh gosh. So you were like, yeah,
I was like a month away from being born.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you didn't miss out. Let me tell you,
That's funny. So, well, tell me about that. You said how many miles? 20 miles or something north?
Yeah. It's like 20 minutes north or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I grew up there. It was pretty much just like a small little suburb in Ohio. You know, I had a very like kind of childhood. You know, when you see in movies like the kids that ride their bikes all over town and they got their group of friends and just sure. I like very much lived that life for a very long time. Yeah.
That's cool. Are you close to like Yellow Springs? That's where Dave Chappelle lives.
Yeah, really close to Yellow Springs. I used to play at a lot of open mics in Yellow Springs.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool town, man. I went through there pretty recently, actually. I went up to visit I have family still in Cleveland. And when I was driving through, I stopped there to just check out the little town. It's a really rad little town there in the middle of Ohio.
It is, man. It's got character for some odd reason. It's kind of random, just like it's way out there, like kind of in the middle of nowhere, but then you like stumble upon it and it's like its own little world. It's really cool.
Yeah, so you'd play out there a bit?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
different spots there. Okay.
Yeah, there were some spots I used to, like, before I moved to Nashville, I would like anywhere in Ohio that would let me come play, like anywhere I would go do it. I think the place that I played the most there was called like it was literally called like the Screaming Goat or something like that. Like, okay. I think it's what it was called. It was awesome though. It was so much fun to play.
That's amazing. What about music? Do you come from a musical household?
Dude, not at all. My mom is a teacher. My dad's a principal. So.
Oh, wow. At the same school?
No. They were always separate, and then my dad got a principal's job like my freshman year of high school. So we actually moved to another town in Ohio, like kind of out in the middle of nowhere, called Arcanum. So that's where my parents live now.
Okay,
but I grew up in New Carlisle.
Okay, and did you go to the school that your mom taught at, or no?
Yeah, so I did until I went to my mom's school until freshman year, and then when my dad got the new job, that would have been after my freshman year of high school. Okay. And so then I transferred schools, and then my dad was my principal, and you know, it was one of those situations. Oh, man.
You went from mom teaching to dad principal.
I'll tell you what, not as bad as you would think it is. Not as bad as you would think.
That's good. Was it hard to move in the middle? I mean, going into your freshman year of high school?
Oh, dude, it was brutal. It was brutal. Cause especially just cause I grew up with, you know, like my best friends my entire life until I would have been 15 when I moved, or 16 when I moved. Like, my best friends lived within 2 blocks of me. Like, we would wake up and just go to each other's houses every day.
Yeah.
And those guys, the ones from my original, like where I'm originally from, those are still like my best friends in the world. And so moving, I ended up moving like probably 45 minutes away. And so it was pretty brutal, but thankfully they're still my boys. They're still,
that's good. I mean, yeah. Around that time you were about to get your license and stuff, I'm sure it made it a little easier if you could drive back or whatever. They could drive to you.
Yeah, dude. And that was the weird thing. It took adjusting because like how I grew up, like when I turned 16, I didn't get my license. I didn't get my license till I was almost 17, just because like, you know, I grew up right next to him. So I never like needed my license for
anything. Right. You didn't need driving. Right.
Yeah. And then I moved and I was like, well, shoot, now I got to go take all these classes. And then I was like really lazy and I never went and took them. So it took me a while to get my license.
That's funny. Yeah. But you said you didn't grow up in a musical household. When did you start? Like, did you start singing at an early age or did you take piano lessons or?
No. So it was one of those things, like when it came to singing, I always knew I really liked it. Like mm-hmm. from since I was like really little and my like, you know, I had one aunt in particular that were like you that was like, you're such an amazing singer. Like my whole life would always tell me that. But I like grew up, I was like a big sports kid, dude. I played so much basketball like growing up. I was actually my high school team. We were the first team in Ohio to go 30-0. We like won a state championship and stuff.
No way.
Yeah. So that was like my life pretty much. And
that's crazy. You're the first one, even yeah. with like LeBron coming from Akron.
Yeah.
That's wild to yep. think.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. Ohio basketball, man, is like pretty sick. I'm a huge hoops fan.
Same here.
And yeah, I like still like we'll go back from Nashville and like go and watch like whatever I can. But basically like when my senior year of high school, once basketball ended, I was like, well, I don't know what to do with my life now. I was like, and you know, I was now live like my parents now live on this like farm, you know, mm-hmm. the closest neighbor is a mile away. And so I had had a guitar since I was like 10 that I had never played one time. Like my parents got it for me and I just never picked it up. And then after senior year, I was like, I guess I'm just going to learn how to play this thing and maybe that'll make me cool. I guess
it's whoa, so you didn't start playing guitar until you're out of high school.
Yeah. I would have been 18. God. Yeah. 18, about to be 19 when I started.
No. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So, and then like, were you still living in Ohio? Like how many years later do you get to Nashville, or was that quite a bit later down the line?
A little bit. So I graduated high school. I went to Ohio University for 2 years.
Okay.
And I had started learning the summer before, and then I took the guitar to college, and maybe like a month and a half into school, my like college friends, they were more so like messing with me, but they were like, dude, you should go play on an open mic night. Like you should go do it. We'd come watch you. And I was like, I'm like one of those that if my friends tell me like, I won't do something, I'm like, watch this. It. Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm, you know? And so, so yeah, I went and played on one, and I remember the first one I ever played on. And I was like, yo, that was so much fun. And I went and played and I, you know, was with all these people that were better at guitar than me, but like, I felt like I was just as good as them. And I'm like, you know, like I said, I grew up playing basketball. So I'm always like competitive and I'm like, I can do that. I'm like, I can go do that. And so, yeah, I just like kept doing it. And then by my sophomore year, I was like, it had pretty much just engulfed like my whole life. Like I was playing 7 nights a week in front of people. Like I would go play on the streets, like outside of the college bars. Like I was not cool in college at all. Like I was not like in Greek life. I didn't like do yeah. the typical, I just sat in my room and, you know, learned how to play. Yeah, yeah. Literally that was what I did. And yeah, by sophomore year, it was like, pretty much engulfed everything. And I was like, man, I really think like if I really tried to pursue this, like I think I could do it. Like that was pretty much what I told myself. And then I went home that summer. I'd failed all my classes, told my parents, you know, my parents being educators, that was not a good conversation.
I bet.
yeah. I had to move in with my grandma that summer because my parents, they couldn't even look at me.
Yeah. I can't even look at you. How do you fail school?
it was brutal. And so I moved in with my grandma back in my like hometown. So I went from like the place that my parents had moved to and then went back. My grandma lived in New Carlisle where I was from. So I moved back there And
were your friends still there?
Like, yeah, yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the blessing behind it all.
Well, it was a blessing and a curse, because the problem was, I told my parents, I was like, I'm going to move in with grandma. I'm going to save up all this money. End of January, I'm moving. And well, this was like the same summer that all my friends still went to school in our hometown. So they had just got their first house together and all this stuff. Okay. So instead of saving money, we spent the whole summer just like
partying,
being stupid. Like, it was best summer of our lives. I swear, it's insane. And, but then it came to January, and I was like, it was like, you know, 3 weeks left in January. And I was like, I got to move to Nashville. Like, I told everybody I'm moving to Nashville. I got to do it. Like, you know, and so the day my parents dropped me off, I told them I'd saved up all this money, whatever. And, you know, but instead I was barely scraping by. I had paid my housing deposit. And on the day they dropped me off in Nashville, I had $44 in my bank account. and somehow we made it work. And now we're here.
Oh my gosh. So do you knew that you wanted to go to Nashville? Like, I mean, yeah, it sounds like you were telling people that.
Well, yeah, I just knew that, like, I knew that I wanted to take it seriously, and I knew how serious that I like was taking it. And I was like, if I wanted anything for real to happen, I knew it wasn't going to happen in Ohio. And so, but I didn't want to go, like, I knew I wasn't ready for like an LA or a New York or anything like that. Like, when I moved down, I was still, you know, I just started writing songs and they were awful. Like, you know how it is when you first start. So yeah, they were like, I knew I wasn't very good, but I knew I had like what it took to be good, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have the discipline. I mean, and the competitive nature, you have to have that. I mean, to engulf yourself in it completely after just being like, okay, I'm 18 and I'm going to start learning guitar. And then it becomes, I'm going to play 7 nights a week. And this is now my life, and I'm gonna fail school, you know. Basically, you just took that, it just took over your life.
Yeah, dude, it really did. It was crazy, man. I don't know, it was almost like this. It's just weird to me, because I never thought I would be in a position like this. Like, even though I thought about it a million times, like, I never thought that I would be like where I am now. Because that was the other thing, I never was like, being an artist was never the end game. Like, my goal was always to be a songwriter for anybody. I just wanted to work in music. And I knew that the one thing that I was getting good at was songwriting. So like, and you know, I'm 25 now, so I've been in Nashville for like 4 years. And so the past like 3 years, that was pretty much like the one thing that I focused really hard on, was just like, didn't matter who the song was for, just like writing the best songs that I possibly could. And then, yeah, like the EP, like this all like kind of the artist thing, this is all like kind of happened by accident, which I think is really sick. It was like, I signed my pub deal in May of last year. And you know, when I did that, I was like, boom, I was like, goal accomplished. I don't need, like, I can die happy. I'm good.
Right.
Like,
and for people that don't know, that's basically you got signed to write songs with and for other people, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I was hired by a company called Riverhouse, who are just like, they're a JV of Sony. They're just the best people. I couldn't have a better publishing family. But yeah, I got hired as a staff writer, like to write for other people.
Real quick, just because I'm curious. Yeah. So actually, I got two questions. So when you did open mic night, that first one where your friends like go up and do it, were you just doing like cover songs at that point?
By the end of like, that it would have been 2018. Like, before I moved to Nashville, I was doing a lot. I would do mainly originals and then like one cover.
Okay. So you were writing your own songs at that point, and you kind of,
yeah.
I mean, you're going up and playing your own songs in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably written, like, I think before I moved to Nashville, I had like 15 songs that I thought were good enough to like sing in front of people. They probably weren't good enough to sing, but I thought they were. So, sure. Yeah, but I definitely started then.
Okay, and then you get to Nashville, and when you get the publishing deal, was that based on songs that you, like, how did that process happen? Were you writing with people, and then somebody was like, wow, you know, this guy's really good?
Yeah, it was basically like, let's see, I pretty much moved down here, and I just, like, I met this kid named Spencer Jordan, who is, like, one of my best friends. He was the first person I knew in Nashville. He kind of like taught me everything that I know about songwriting. He's still like, you know, one of my, like, we still write every, you know, twice a week. Like, he's still one of my homies. He was like one of the writers on Sneakers, along with like my other buddy, Zach Smith, and a couple other guys. But basically, like, when he moved down, or when I moved down, he kind of showed me the ropes, and we would like scope out artists. We would just like kind of be like, hey, like, I think this person has like a lot of potential. We should write them some songs.
And
yeah. So we would like reach out to people, and basically like the artists just kept getting like kind of bigger and bigger. The ones that we were in. And then, in 2021, we met this kid named John Harvey.
Oh, I know John Harvey.
You know John?
Yeah. I've interviewed him before. Yeah. Oh, he lives in Nashville as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So John's like one of our boys. So Spencer wrote his song Bleach. And then me and Spencer, the first time I met John, the day I met John, we wrote his other song, Elena.
And you have another song with him that came out last year or 2 years ago now. I can't believe it's 2020.
Yeah. We have a song together called Leg Day. That's like super funny. We have that, but then I also, there's a song on his album that I wrote called Worse. And so he was kind of, John was the person that kind of, you know, John had these couple songs kind of like go off.
Yeah. He had like viral moments early on.
Yeah. He had a couple like good moments, and people were like calling publishers in Nashville being like, yo, who are these guys that wrote the song? And all the publishers in Nashville were like, we have no idea who these guys are. Like, nobody knows. And so that was kind of what like put us on the map, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And then we wrote, and then Spencer and I also, we then wrote, there was a band called Arrows in Action that they're an independent band. We wrote two songs for them that did pretty well. And then we wrote Get a Job by Games We Play. And so like after all that kind of happened, that was when everyone was like, yo, who are these guys? Like, you know, we took some meetings. We both ended up getting our pub deals. And then like 2 weeks after that, I had these 7 random songs that were just like I had written, and I knew they were good, but I didn't know who to give them to. Mm-hmm. And so I actually went up to Columbus, Ohio. I met this kid. His name's Cam Becker. Cam Becker. So, see, my voice is just destroyed. but I went up to Ohio. I called this kid that I like barely knew. I just knew he was a good producer. And I was like, yo, can I come stay at your house, record these songs? Like, I want to get them pitched to other artists. Mm-hmm. And we were like, that would have been like, this was no joke, like 2 weeks after I signed my pub deal. Wow. And I went up, recorded these songs thinking I was going to give them to other artists. And then like that week when I was recording them, I was like, I can't give these away. I was like, it was literally the entire project, like all 7 songs. It was like,
oh, really? The 7 songs that are coming out.
Yeah. Like Sneakers, I Don't Want to Know. It was like all the songs.
Wow.
And, like midway through that week, I was like, there's no way I can give these up. So I just got hired as a staff writer. Right. And the next week I came back to the Riverhouse guys, and I was a little scared because I knew how much I loved these songs. And I was like, listen, I know I just got hired here to like do this. I was like, but hear me out. Just listen to these songs for me. I was like, just tell me what you think. And pretty much I showed them the songs, and their jaws hit the floor. And then I was like, okay, we might be onto something. Like, we might be onto something here. And then, and then we just posted one on TikTok, and it was like the 6th ever TikTok I'd ever posted, basically. It just like gone.
And that was what, Sneakers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, well, when you come back to them and say, hey, I've got these 7 songs I wrote and recorded, that's a pretty amazing that they didn't say, yeah, these are great. Their jaw drops and goes, I have an artist for every one of these songs, right?
Yep. Thankfully, that did not happen. Thankfully, it
they're
did
like,
not happen.
Oh, you can do, you, like, we'll let you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think there's like part of our agreement is I'm allowed to have like 10 songs on hold, or I was. Now things are a little different now because of how everything played out.
Right.
Because don't get me wrong, they're over the moon now. Now that like everything is going the way it is, they're like, this is awesome. Like, they're like, we got a writer and we got an artist with like, you know.
Sure. Because they usually want you to choose a lane, right?
Exactly.
Right. Or you're going to be an artist.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and pretty much like since then, I mean, we posted the first TikTok, and it would have been July 21st, I think. And the video blew up so fast. We had sneakers out by August 5th. And then like ever since then, everything is just kind of snowballed out of control. It was like, it was crazy, dude. I posted that TikTok and then like 3 weeks later, I was on tour with Band Camino, who's like my favorite band in the world. So it was like,
oh, is that right? That's awesome.
It was insane, dude. It was crazy. Like I used to tell my sister, like, I'm gonna write a song for Band Camino one day. Like, that's what I would tell her. And then when I got to call her and say I was opening for them, she was like, no. It was crazy, man. It was really crazy.
What was the phone call like that you received saying you're going to go with them?
Oh, well, it was crazy, man, how it, like, happened. There were a lot of stars that lined up. Like, literally, the month of August was very strange because so at the beginning of the year in January, I had that song Leg Day with John had came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And John was like, hey, well, I'm doing this tour with this band called Bill Murray. Have you ever heard of these guys?
No.
Dude, as soon as we get off this podcast,
but I love look that. Up, I love that name.
it's spelled Bilmuri. Yeah, when we get off here, check them out because they
I will.
I'm
just gonna type
so
it in right
sick.
Now, so I don't forget.
Yeah, but he was going on tour with this band called Bill Murray, and he was like, "Hey, come with me, sing our song just one night a week. It'll be fun. Just come with." And I was like, "Okay." So I went on this like week long tour, met this band, whatever, and then. Became good friends with the lead singer of the band. His name's Johnny Frank. And we bonded because he was an Ohio guy. He's from Columbus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was kind of how we like connected a little bit. And then, you know, fast forward a couple months later, John was playing at So What Festival in Texas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he asked me to come. He was like, yo, just come, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'll come be an overglorified fan for the weekend. That'd be sick. So I went down, saw the Bill Murray guys again. Me and Johnny got to talking. And this was like, this would have been like 3 weeks, a month after I had recorded all the songs. And Johnny was asking me, he was like, dude, do you have like any of your own stuff? And I was like, well, actually I just like got this project and I'd sent it to him, whatever. He became a big fan. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he had reached out. He wanted me to help write some of their albums. So I just went up and worked on some of the next Bill Murray record. And, but he had asked me this, became like a fan, whatever. And then sure enough, like when Sneakers happened, he had came to Nashville and hit me up and was like, yo, I'm in Nashville. Let's like hang out. And I was like, oh, like, what are you here for? And he was getting signed by Camino's manager. His name's Jameson Roper.
Oh, wow. And
so that's what he was in town for. And then on the exact same day that Johnny and Jameson had gotten together, I guess he went over and hung out with all the Camino guys. And I was out at some bar and I saw the lead singer of Band Camino, Jeff, and like said, what's up to him. And he like, I talked to him cause they were on the Bill Murray record. So we kind of talked about it and he was like, bro, he was like, Knox. He was like, Johnny Frank showed me your stuff today. He was like, that NYC song is really sick. And like me, I'm like, Jeff Jordan, I love you, dude. I'm like, dude, you don't even know. But it's also like 2 a.m. It's like 2 a.m. Like, you know, I'm sure he was drunk. I know I had had some drinks, yeah, whatever.
Sure.
And he had said outside of this bar at 2:30, he was like, bro, come play some Camino shows with us. And I was like, I just took it for what it was. Cause I was like,
right,
okay,
you're like,
2:30
he's gonna
in the
forget
morning.
Tomorrow. Right.
Yeah. I was like, whatever. And literally, no joke, the very next day, I get a call from my manager and he's like, hey, Jameson Roper just reached out. Do you want to play some Camino shows? And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was super coincidental because I was writing a song that day with Jeffrey's younger brother. So I like walked back into the studio and I was like, Josh, I'm touring with your brother's band.
With your brother's band.
And we were all just like freaking out, dude. It was so crazy, man.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. Yeah. Well, you know, you got the EP coming out. I've heard it. It's awesome. You have what? Three songs off of it out right now. NYC is a killer song. My favorite song I think is Porchlight, and you haven't put that one out yet.
Dude, I love that, man. I think Torchlights is the biggest sleeper. So I love when people say that.
That's such a cool song.
Thank you, man.
I love just the sound in general of the record, like the riffs that you have. Like, I mean, are those all guitar riffs that you have been writing? Just like your style and sound is so good.
Yeah, dude. Basically, like, so I'm a solid guitar player, but my producer, Cam is his name. He can like pretty much a lot of them, like, I will kind of just sing them, like, just give him a melody, like, especially the, like, for example, my song Hate My Guts and Porch uh-huh. Lights were two where I kind of just was like, dude, what if you went like, and he'll just mimic exactly what I was like doing. And he's like perfect at that. Like, if I can just tell him what to play, he can just like do it right there on the spot. Yeah. But I love that kind of stuff, man. I love it.
So this whole EP is the, did you re-record anything, or are these the songs that you did and then you just kind of brought them down and were like, here's the seven songs, or did you go in and tinker with them at all?
Well, yeah, it kind of went through phases. So like originally the seven songs were, it was Time Machine, it was Sneakers, I Don't Want to Know, Hate My Guts, Porch Lights. But then the other two songs were, Leg Day was going to be one of them. And then that we have another song called Girl on the Internet. That's like one of my favorite songs ever. That was supposed to be the seven songs. And then like a couple, like maybe like a month and a half later, after Sneakers came out, me and my buddies went on a writing trip to Gulf Shores. And that was where we wrote Dumpster Fire.
Okay.
And we were like, Dumpster Fire needs to be on this. We were like, because it just gives it that like diversity. And I guess NYC was also on there. I forgot about that one. But so we ended up, we took off Leg Day, we added NYC, and then we took off Girl on the Internet, we added Dumpster Fire, just to make it more like, Girl on the Internet kind of has a similar sound to like something like Porch Lights, I guess. And we wanted to make sure that like every single song sounded very, very, very different. Like just kind of hitting, like, that's my favorite thing about the project, dude, is I feel like anybody that likes music at all can find something on there that they like, that they vibe with or connect with in some way.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. Cause none of the songs sound the same. Right. I mean, you could tell it's you, but they're all have a different like vibe to them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a different like feel and like theme, and you know, they all make you feel different things, which that was like kind of the goal, which I really love.
Yeah. I love in NYC, the very beginning of it too, you have like the ambient sound of like the city, right? Like,
yeah.
And then it kind of cuts out like within the first few, you know, measures of the song. But yeah, it's really good.
Thank you, man. Dude, it's crazy. NYC is the one song I wrote NYC by myself in my bedroom, like right when COVID started, maybe even like a little before COVID started.
Wow. And
that was the only song ever that I remember writing that. And I was like, I don't know what this song is, but nobody else can ever sing it. Like I never told any publishers about it. Like I like always had it in my back pocket. And if you could hear the original version of that song, you would laugh. It's like hilarious. The original demo and how like far it's come and what it sounds like now. It's like, that song has really had a life. And so now that it's the lead single on my like debut project with like my dream label is like mind blowing to me. It's so cool.
That's amazing, man. And then you're doing the release show right at in Nashville.
Yeah, dude, we got my first headlining show February 23rd. Dude, it like sold out in like 20 minutes. It was insane, bro. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it.
And John Harvey's on it as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. John. And then my buddy Zach, Zach wrote like almost every song on the project with me. He's like kind of my guy on this project. Uh-huh. But he's also an artist. He goes by Z Smith. And so he's going to be on the show too. And it's going to be sick, dude.
That's so cool. It's just like a bunch, you and your buddies playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that was the thing, is just like, you know, so like Zach, for example, he came up with the idea of Sneakers. Like I remember going to the session that day and him being like, bro, what if you like wrote a song called this, but it was about somebody who like sneaks around. And I was like, genius. And so like, literally without him, like I am not in this position, because Sneakers is what started it all. So like, you know, I you know, without John, I'm also like, you know, all those things that happened with John a year before. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much like, you know, I got to repay the favor. Sometimes I think it's sometimes I think it's really messed up and like not fair that like I get to do some of these things when like some of the people that helped me get here, like, you know, I need them with me. You know what I mean?
If that makes sense. You're like paying it back kind of to them.
But yeah. Yeah. Have to.
That's so rad, though. I mean, so this show that you're playing is, are you doing a tour? I can't remember. Or are you just doing the one, the show, the like release show?
So we're just right now, we're just like, we've just announced the show. We're talking with a bunch, like a couple different people about touring. So we'll definitely be like doing a ton of touring this year, especially summertime, which I am so excited for, like, especially after doing, cause I did the Murray or the Band Camino shows, but then I also toured with Bill Murray at the end of the year last year.
Cool.
And so like I spent like September through November touring. And now I have the itch for sure. And I'm like, I gotta go back out. Like I gotta go.
Yeah. Wow. So with the show, are you just gonna play the EP through, or like, the song you talk about, Girl on the Internet, have you played that song out, or is that something that no one's heard?
Yeah. No, that was actually the opener on our set list. It's not gonna be the opener on this one now, just because people don't know it. So I want the first song on this show to be like one that people know. Right. But it will still be on the set list. And we're gonna play a couple like songs that aren't out yet. That I think it's cool, dude. I finally feel like the past couple weeks we've been writing and recording like so much new stuff. And for a while I was kind of tripping. Like I was like, are we going to be able to like match like what we've already done?
And
I finally feel like now we have stuff that is like just as good, if not better. And so now I'm feeling like pretty great about the new stuff now.
That's amazing. Yeah. Cause I couldn't imagine that'd be a thought maybe in your mind, especially like with Sneakers, you put it out and then it just goes crazy. And it's like, is the next one going to land the same way?
Or, yeah.
You know, now that your show sells out really quick, all the songs are doing well. And it's like, okay, the project's done, but moving forward from here.
Yeah.
You know, what's this going to look like? But that's amazing.
Yeah. It's sick, dude. I'm just trying to like, you know, thankfully the Band Camino shows did me a huge solid because, you know, having a viral song like that, like Sneakers, can be like, it can be a little scary because you have that moment and then you're like, okay, they like the song, but does anybody like care about me? Like, does anybody like me as an artist? You know,
or are you just the guy that has Sneakers? Oh, I know the song, but you know, who's not?
Exactly. Right? Like, I don't know.
Oh, Sneakers. I know that song.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Like, that was my biggest fear. And thankfully, like doing those Camino shows, I like very quickly locked in like real fans and real people that are, you know, like I always thought that I would have the song and then the monthly listeners, like I thought I'd come back down to reality. And like, you know, most people in Nashville that are like doing well, like have like 250, like 300,000 or something like that are doing really well.
Right.
And so I like always thought that I would just come back to that. But then like after that shows, I mean, like this, it's been steady at like 700 for the past couple months. And it's like, so there are people that are actually like engaged with the songs. And so that's what I'm so like stoked about. It's cool. I feel like now I don't have to like rely on TikTok anymore. You know what I mean? Which is a great feeling.
Yeah. Now you have this thing you've built based. I mean, it obviously helped having that first moment
for sure.
TikTok, but now you're doing other things. And just because you have a song on TikTok or a viral moment doesn't mean that's going to sell any tickets.
Exactly. Right?
I mean,
exactly.
To sell that venue out so quickly, obviously people care and want to hear the rest and want to see you perform.
Yeah. Else. Dude, which is so crazy to me, man. Like I woke up Friday morning, I had an alarm set for 9:55 to like wake up and post about it. And like, I just like, I was hoping it sold out day one. I was hoping that it would, but like, to be honest, I didn't know. Like I didn't know if it would. I was a little nervous or whatever. And
yeah,
I posted at 10 a.m. No joke. I like made the post the night before. So just woke up, press send, shared it to my store, whatever, turned my phone off and like rolled over to go back to bed. And like 10 minutes later, my manager called me and 10 minutes later, my manager called me and I was like, hello, like still like half asleep. And he, in the most casual voice, was like, hey, show sold out. And I was like, I like jumped out of bed. I was literally, I'm on my bed right now. I was jumping on the bed. I was like, you're lying. He was like, yeah, internet, the website crashed. He was like, yeah, it's going to be sold out. And I was like freaking out. I mean, like I had people from Atlantic like texting me being like, yo, did it sell out? Like we can't get tickets. And I was like, yeah, it did.
Damn, that's awesome, yeah, man. Well, congratulations. Wow, that's so cool.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for doing this.
Dude, yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I think this is my first podcast I've been on, so it's been an honor.
Oh, awesome. No, that's an honor for me. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
I have one more quick question before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh, dude, my biggest advice, especially for artists, is focus on the songs. Always, like, if you have songs that are undeniably great, it will work out. Like, you know, my content on TikTok is nothing crazy. Like, I'm not insanely creative on TikTok or anything, but I think focusing on the songwriting and making sure that you have the best songs and what, like, you want to say is yourself, I guess, and really just loving that side of it. Like, don't worry about views, don't worry about how many followers you have, like, anything like that. Just focus on always, like, making the best music that you possibly can. That's always my advice for everybody.